Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
I asked my opening question for you this morning is, have you ever been excited about getting great seats for a sporting event, a concert, a theatrical performance? Great seats are really difficult to come by in a non-COVID environment. I was watching the Ohio State football game yesterday, and there was nobody in Ohio Stadium. There were like 1,500 people. But in normal times, great seats are really hard to come by. So when you, in normal times, get the opportunity, most people jump at the chance if you get access to great seats and you can afford it. Now, the best seats that I've ever had for any event were for a Columbus Blue Jackets hockey game. And they weren't front row seats. They were luxury box seats.
Ooh.
Yes, luxury box seats. That luxury box was nicer than my house that we're sitting in right now. I mean, you had big screen TV. You had an endless buffet of food. If the buffet was running out, these people came in and they just kept restocking it with chicken wings and steak and all sorts of goodies. There were no vegetables either. It was just all awesome buffet food. You had a great view from the luxury suite of the entire hockey rink. I mean, you could see everything. And you even had your own private restroom, right? So you didn't have to go out. You just, everything was self-contained. The food, the restroom. If you were bored with the game, you could watch the television. They even had computers if you wanted to just get on the internet or whatever. It was awesome to sit there and watch the game while the little people sat crammed into their cheap seats, which is where I usually sit, right? Now, I've also had the privilege of sitting at the very top of C-Deck at Ohio Stadium during an Ohio State football game. Those are also known as the nosebleed seats. You are so far away from the field, you can't even read the numbers on the players' jerseys. I've had a much better view of watching a game from my home on my high-definition television than from C-Deck at Ohio Stadium. So when I get offered C-Deck seats now, I'm like, no thanks. I have a better experience watching it at home. So like we said, last week we kicked off a new series to answer the simple, but I think very important, and these days often asked question, why should I believe in God? Now, I think that we would be foolish, we'd be naive, we'd be ignoring reality to not acknowledge that we are all living through some very challenging and tough times. 2020 has been very difficult. And in the midst of the difficult times, we've been over the past couple of weeks talking about the fact that there is spiritual warfare happening in our midst. We see all the things that our eyes can see and perceive and our ears can hear, but beyond what we can see and hear, there is spiritual warfare happening in our midst. And it's not uncommon for people who are strong in their faith and for people who are teetering on the edge of faith to ask the question, is this worth my effort? Why in the world should I believe in God anyhow? I think these days people are asking, where is God in the midst of the pandemic? Where is God in the midst of the economic hardship? Where is God in the midst of the political chaos that we seem to be going through these days? Where is God in the midst of the social unrest and the violence in our communities? Where is God in the midst of my loved one's cancer diagnosis? Where is God in the midst of my health crisis? Where is God anyhow? I think that that's a very legitimate question for us to ask. The world seems to be like it's falling apart and God seems to be AWOL. Now, if you're a military person, that's absent without leave. But I think some people feel like God is AWOL in terms of absent without love. How can a loving God let all of this stuff happen? I think it's very common for people to question the existence of God. I think it's common for people to question the existence of the God of the Bible because they assume that God is far removed from the suffering, far removed from the mayhem, far removed from the dirge and the boredom that we call life, that we call this human experience. So this week, I really want to hone in on this question, the answer to this question, where is God in the midst of all the craziness going on in our world? Or another way to say it is, why should I believe in God if it doesn't even seem like he's even around? Okay? Now, I think there are three primary views that answer this question, and I've covered these in the past in a very cursory way, but I just wanted to spend a couple of moments this morning to kind of cover three different ways you could answer this question. N.T. Wright is a British theologian, great writer. He is prolific. He's got a ton of great books. If you want a good theological book to read, go read some N.T. Wright. You can pick one. You won't go wrong. But he does a very good job of outlining the potential answers to the question, where is God anyhow? Now, option number one is to say that God is creation. God is the grass. God is the trees outside. God is the keyboard, the electronic keyboard Pastor Vicky was playing. God is the earth. Now, we were at Barnes & Noble in Illinois last weekend for Curtis's wedding. And before the wedding, we had some time. So we like to go to bookstores. The Barnes & Noble were there. We had masks. We were socially distanced. And so we were in the bookstore. And I was browsing around the religious book section. And I came across an entire shelf. An entire shelf focused on witchcraft. Okay? Witchcraft, Wiccan. These books are all there. Witchcraft and Wiccan, they worship nature. They worship the creation as if it was God. It seems to me these lines of belief fall in this first bucket of worshiping the creation. Another word for worshiping creation as God is pantheism. God is just everything. In other words, God, you look at it, what you see is what you get. But I think the problem with that point of view is that when we start dealing with all the problems that we face in life, is what we see is what we get? Is that all there is? There's no hope if this is all there is to our existence. And I think that taken to its ultimate conclusion, pantheism, God is all of creation. If God is simply creation, the wood and the trees, the dirt and the ground, that really doesn't offer us much hope if this is all there is. That's option number one. Option number two says, God is far removed from creation. Now, it acknowledges that God exists, but that God isn't part of creation, but God is far removed from creation. And I really don't doubt that many Christians, many Bible-believing Christians, I think, get caught up in this way of thinking. All right. We're always talking about how when we get to heaven, like heaven is a destination to go to, or how we want to go be with Jesus, like Jesus is off in some far off place that we can't see. Or we talk about how Jesus is coming back from where he's at far away to come back to us to get us, like he's in some distant corner of the universe to come get us. That point of view, with heaven being very remote and far away, another word for this approach is deism. This view says that God is out there, God exists, God's the creator, but God, after he created creation, entirely removed himself from creation. In other words, it says God is off in some luxury box. That's what that point of view says. It says that God is removed from the field of play. He's off in some luxury box with his big screen TV watching our every move, judging us. God's there, but God's removed. While you and I, while we're down here in the cheap seats, okay? While we're in the cheap seats jammed together, just hoping for the best, waiting for the clock to run out so God will come back. As a matter of fact, I think many of our founding fathers actually held this view of God. If you read your history, many of our founding fathers believed that there was a God. They believed in God. They believed that God was the creator, but that God was distant, removed, and that God was more of a being of destiny than an active agent or figure in our world. So option number one is that God is just simply creation. The dirt, the trees, everything you see, that's all there is. Option number two is that God is there, God is the creator, but God is far removed, he's in the luxury box. But there's this third view that I want us to consider this morning. This third option says God is with us here, right here with us. Option number one, I think, can be represented by a simple circle. And it just says simply that God is the circle. Option number two can be represented, I think, by two circles. One circle represents the creation we live in. The other circle represents God out here in his luxury box. Both coexist, but in two totally different realms. This third option, I think, can be represented by two circles once again. But again, one representing the creation we live in, one representing the kingdom of heaven, the place where God is at. But in this third option, there is a place where these two circles overlap. And where is God? God is in the overlap. God is in the, if you think of two circles that overlap, God is in that area that overlaps. God's intent from the very start has been to dwell with humanity. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. God's intent from the very start has been to dwell with humanity and to be with us and to live in us. As a matter of fact, God's desire is for us to dwell with him forever in eternity. That is the plan. Well, how do we know this, Pastor? Well, first, we have to embrace the answer we explored last week. How do we know this? First of all, we gotta say we know it because the Bible tells us so. And remember, the Bible is not a history book. It's not a science book. The Bible is a spiritual book, and it tells us everything we need to know about how to have a relationship with God. And we know that God wants to be with us because the Bible tells us so. God with us. I want you to say that where you're sitting this morning. God with us. God with us. It is a theme that we find woven throughout the entirety of Scripture. I want to take you on a little tour of the Bible this morning, okay? First of all, let's look at the creation story in Genesis. Picture of God walking with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's a simple picture. God with us. That story is about what it's all supposed to be about. Humanity fellowshipping with God. Before the fall, Eden was that place where heaven and earth overlapped. It was like the total overlap place where God would dwell with his creation, with humanity. But then the fall happened and the relationship was broken. God can't be in a place where sin exists, where rebellion exists. And so the relationship was broken. So humanity went off and did its own thing. The curse of sin fell on creation. And then the whole story of the Bible is this rejoining of God being able to be with humanity. Move a little fast forward into the Old Testament. Look at the whole setup of the tabernacle, the tent in the wilderness, and the building of the temple and the rituals laid out for the people of Israel. The tabernacle in the desert, the tent there, the temple built in Jerusalem, that served as the one place where heaven and earth intersect. Think about this, even in history today, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is so important to the nation of Israel even today. It's because the Jewish people believe that is the one place where heaven meets earth. Look at the story. Let's fast forward a little bit. Think about all the prophecies in the Old Testament. Look at the story of Messiah. Look at the story of Jesus. Even the prophets, when foretelling Jesus' birth, declared that, and his name will be called Emmanuel. And what does that mean? Emmanuel, translated into English, means God with us. Finally, I think, so you've got the story of creation, you've got the tabernacle and temple, you've got Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Finally, look at the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are living in the age, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit's available for us. When you look at the gift of the Holy Spirit, which you and I are able to enjoy today, it is a manifestation of God with us. Jesus described the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 10. He actually said to his disciples on the night he was going away, okay, he was going away and he wasn't going to be with them anymore. He said, "It's good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin because men do not believe, in regard to righteousness because I am going to the Father." Jesus had to go away so that the Holy Spirit could come be with us, because you see, with Jesus, heaven and earth overlapped through the life of Jesus Christ, and heaven and earth overlapped in the temple in one place. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, heaven and earth can overlap even in our hearts, which I think is a beautiful, beautiful thing. The whole point of sending the Holy Spirit is so that God can be with us, all of us, so that God can dwell in us, all of us. We don't worship the trees. We worship the one who made the trees. We worship the one who was hung on the tree to open access to the Creator. God, my friends, if you're asking the question, where is God this morning? God is not in some faraway luxury box today. For those who are asking, why should I believe in God? Where in the world is he at? I think the answer is God is right here in the trenches with you and I. God has come down from the luxury box. The Bible tells us he's not hanging out in the luxury box. God is with us in the cheap seats, living life with us as we experience everything we experience. My response for those people who believe that creation is God, who worship the trees and the dirt and the animals, my response for those who believe that is to say, is that all there is? Because that's not going to save you. That feels hopeless. My response for those who say that God is still up in the luxury box, far removed, I say to that point of view, that's really cruel of God if the God we serve is enjoying the luxury box while we are going through the crisis and trial and suffering of life. Who would want to worship that God? I wouldn't want to worship that God. I just don't see how you can make it work. But my response to the view that God is right here with us, which is what the Bible, the arc, the entire narrative arc of the Bible clearly teaches us, that God is with us right here, that makes my heart fill with hope. That fills my heart with encouragement to know that we are not alone, that God is with us. The scriptures clearly teach us a couple of things. First of all, the scriptures teach us that God is right here in the muck with us. Right where you find yourself today, whether you find yourself in a physical crisis, a relationship crisis, maybe you're stressed out at work, maybe you're stressed out about your puppy dog chewing all your furniture up. As we work, as we worry, as we win, as we lose, as we're bored, God is right by your side. I'm here to speak that reality into your mind and remind you of that today. So that's the first thing I want to remind you of. The second thing this morning, the scripture also teaches us that God is with us and God has chosen to partner with those who believe in Jesus to usher in the living kingdom of God, the living kingdom of heaven into this dying world. Quite often, I think that God chooses to work through the hands, the feet, the words, the thoughts, the creativity of those who call themselves followers of Jesus and people of love. God chooses to work through the followers of Jesus. I don't know why he does it this way, but that's the way he does it. God is depending on us to partner with him, to help others see that he actually is nearby. Don't miss that, okay? You may have just missed the point I was just making. God is depending on you to partner with him to help others see that he is actually nearby with us. Think about it. If we have people in our lives, if we have people in our circle of influence who are loudly asking the question, where is God in all of this? What are we not doing that they can't see God? Or maybe if I flip that on its head a little bit, what should we be doing so that the people in our circle of influence can actually see God through our lives, through the love that we express, through the way that we conduct ourselves? God is here in the muck with us. He chooses to partner with the followers of Jesus. And finally, I believe that the scriptures teach us that God is in the business of squeezing as much good as possible, even out of the worst circumstances. God is in the business of squeezing as much good as possible. He can take the worst thing. He doesn't cause things to happen that are bad or evil. He doesn't cause suffering, but he is a God of life, and he is able to move in and bring beauty from ashes. He is able to squeeze good out of the most terrible things that happen, even though he doesn't cause those things. Romans 8:28 is one of my anchor verses because it reminds me of this reality. It reminds me that there is something going on beyond what my eyes can see or my mind can perceive. There is something going on beyond what our eyeballs and our ears can bring into our brains. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know, in the NIV it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, the followers of Jesus, and who have been called according to his purpose, the followers of Jesus. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Eugene Peterson passed away in this past year. He wrote the Message translation of the Bible, and it's just kind of like a down-to-earth, real 21st century kind of interpretation of the scriptures. His interpretation of Romans 8:28 says, that's why you can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. I want to read that again. That's why we can be so sure. You can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Even the most tragic consequences, even the most horrible suffering, God can squeeze good out of it. I believe that. We can be confident that God is working every detail of our lives into something good. You can be confident that God is working every detail of your life into something good as a follower of Jesus. He doesn't cause the bad things to happen, but he can squeeze good even out of the worst things. When people hurt us, God can squeeze good out of the pain if we'll let him. And sometimes that means we have to be the ones who choose to work the good in spite of the pain. We have to make the choice to continue to be people of love even when we hurt. When we are impacted by pandemic or cancer or even death, God suffers with us and is able to even squeeze good out of those situations. He is in the muck. He is in the trenches with us. He wants to partner with us, and he can squeeze good out of everything that's going on in our lives. I leave you with this thought this morning as we close things down. I think of just the situation with my father over this past summer. I am sad that my dad is gone. I am thankful that he is in heaven and cured. But even in the midst of the grief, even in the midst of the sorrow, I can tell you this morning that I know that God is with me. And I'm confident that even through that loss and through that horrible experience this summer, that God is in the process of squeezing good out of that situation. I believe that today. I may not see it all or feel it at all yet at times. I may not see it in my lifetime. Abraham didn't see the fulfillment of his promise in his lifetime, but he had faith and he was credited for it. I may not see it in my lifetime. Or maybe the good of my dad's passing will come through me. Maybe the good will come through me. Maybe my sharing this thought this morning is the sprout of something good that God is doing as a result of my father passing away tragically this summer. I can personally testify that even in the midst of grief, even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of faith-shaking circumstances, over the past several months, God has been so very present in my own life. And it's been helpful for me to know that in the midst of all this stuff that I've been going through, that my family's been going through, that God hasn't been watching from the luxury box, pitying me. Oh, poor Joe, way down there in the cheap seats. God, he leaves the luxury box, and it's what he did through Jesus Christ, and it's what he does right now through the power of his Holy Spirit. He gives up the luxury box, and he moves down. He is hanging down. He's hanging out down here with you and me in the cheap seats. He's helping us. He wants to comfort us. He's encouraging us. He's inspiring us to be his hands and feet to help other people that may be going through this type of suffering too. Where is God in the midst of all of this? Well, God's right here with us. If we'll only open the eyes of our hearts to see and open our minds and our will to help others see God also. That's where God is. God wants to move in and through our lives. He's very real. He's right where you are this morning. He understands what you're going through, and we're going to be talking about that next week a little bit more deeply. Where is God? He's not in a luxury box. He's not the dirt in the ground. God is a loving God who wants to be with us through the power of his Holy Spirit if we'll submit in our hearts to his authority and acknowledge that what Jesus has done for us on the cross was personal. It allows us to have this relationship. It allows for heaven and earth to intersect right in the very core of our soul. But we have to have that vibrant and living relationship with Jesus Christ to make it work. Where's God? He can be right here if you'll let him.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.